Title: The Regulatory Clock Has Started, A Compliance Survival Guide for Digital Asset Holders. Introduction. This article is written for a specific audience: ordinary people who already hold or are considering allocating capital to digital assets. You may be a product manager at a tech company in Shenzhen, or a small cross-border trader in Hangzhou. Regardless of who you are, if you hold digital assets, regulation is a topic you cannot avoid. What we discuss here is not the rise and fall of any specific token, but a more fundamental question: as global regulation moves from fragmentation towards systematization, how can ordinary people build compliance awareness and protection systems? The full scope covers four dimensions: the synchronizing trends of the global regulatory clock, the three-layer structure of China's regulatory framework, the red lines every holder must know, and a practical seven-step protection checklist. We borrow from comparative law and financial compliance frameworks to deliver actionable, measurable, and iterative methods, rather than empty risk warnings. The core conclusion is this: regulation is not a hammer that suddenly falls, but a clock with a traceable rhythm. The signal lights turn on months or even years before any policy actually lands. Those who weather the regulatory storm safely are not lucky. They have built a perceptual ability to read the regulatory cadence and a clear awareness of compliance boundaries. The goal of this article is to help you transform passive fear into proactive protection. Around the theme of digital asset risk and compliance, with a focus on regulatory trend awareness, we first lay out the global and Chinese regulatory landscape with data and order of magnitude, then offer the four red lines and the seven-step action guide, and finally close with cross-border differences and frequently asked questions. We suggest you first read through the core concepts, then check yourself against the red lines one by one based on your own situation. The global regulatory clock: what is being synchronized? In April 2023, the European Union passed the Markets in Crypto Assets Regulation, known as MiCA, the world's first comprehensive crypto asset regulation law. It requires all crypto asset service providers operating in the EU to obtain licenses, meet capital requirements, and implement client asset segregation. The regulation took effect in phases from June 2024, marking a new stage in which digital asset regulation moves from national fragmentation to regional coordination. MiCA's impact extends beyond EU borders. Any platform worldwide that wishes to serve EU users must meet its requirements, effectively exporting EU standards to the rest of the world. Across the Atlantic, the US Securities and Exchange Commission launched approximately 46 enforcement actions related to crypto assets in fiscal year 2023, an increase of roughly 30% over fiscal year 2022. The SEC chair repeatedly stressed in public that the vast majority of crypto tokens should be treated as securities, a stance that directly affects exchange listing strategies and compliance costs. In January 2024, the SEC approved the first spot Bitcoin ETFs, something almost unimaginable 10 years ago. Regulation is not simply about cracking down, it is about finding the balance between protecting investors and allowing innovation. This approval also meant that traditional financial institutions could lawfully offer Bitcoin exposure to clients, fundamentally changing the path for institutional entry. Asia is moving at a similar pace. The Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission implemented a new virtual asset service provider licensing regime in June 2023, and by mid-2024 had issued licenses to more than 10 institutions. The Monetary Authority of Singapore brought digital payment token services under regulation through amendments to the Payment Services Act in 2022. Japan passed amendments to the Payment Services Act in June 2023 to bring stablecoins under the statutory regulatory framework. These actions share a common direction: pulling digital assets out of the gray zone and into a compliance framework where rules become predictable. South Korea followed with the Virtual Asset User Protection Act in July 2023. A key signal is that the regulatory pace of major jurisdictions is converging. MiCA requires KYC and anti-money laundering compliance. The US emphasizes securities law application. Asian jurisdictions are implementing licensing regimes. Though the paths differ, The direction is the same, integrating digital assets into a regulatory system equivalent to traditional financial instruments. This means that over the next several years, the space for regulatory arbitrage will keep shrinking. For ordinary people, the earlier you build compliance awareness, the better you can respond calmly when rules tighten. Those still betting that regulation will never come are racing against time, and time is not on their side. China's three-layer regulatory framework. China's digital asset regulatory framework can be divided into three layers. The first layer is policy definition. In 2013, the People's Bank of China and four other ministries issued a notice on preventing Bitcoin risks, clarifying that Bitcoin is not currency. In 2017, seven ministries issued an announcement on preventing risks of token issuance and financing, banning ICOs. In September 2021, the People's Bank of China and 10 ministries issued a notice on further preventing and dealing with virtual currency speculation risks, comprehensively banning virtual currency trading and related business activities. The 2021 notice is the most authoritative defining document, and its wording escalated from past risk warnings to explicit prohibition, a fundamental shift in nature. The second layer is the enforcement mechanism. The 2021 notice was jointly issued by 10 ministries, including the People's Bank of China, the Cyberspace Administration of China, the Supreme People's Court, the Supreme People's Procuratorate, and the Ministry of Public Security. This means that the entire chain from financial regulation to criminal prosecution has been covered. Local financial bureaus and public security bureaus have carried out enforcement actions accordingly, shutting down domestic exchanges, cracking down on OTC trading, and freezing involved accounts. According to public reports, between 2022 and 2023, police in many places broke virtual currency-related cases involving tens of millions to hundreds of millions of yuan. The depth and breadth of enforcement continues to expand, extending coverage from large exchanges to individual OTC traders. The third layer is judicial adjudication. In 2022, the Supreme People's Court made clear in related cases the principle that virtual currency trading contracts are invalid, but left some room for adjudication in specific scenarios. This means that if you suffer a dispute over your digital assets, judicial protection is limited. It is not that your assets may be confiscated, but that transactions involving your assets may not be protected by law. There is a fundamental difference between the two, but both point to the same conclusion. Within mainland China, the legal status of digital assets is uncertain and restricted. Different courts have shown variation in specific rulings. Some have supported restitution of the original assets, while others have found the contract invalid and assigned shared risk. It is worth noting that holding itself and trading behavior are two different concepts. There is currently no clear law prohibiting individuals from holding digital assets, but what is banned is the business of exchanging fiat currency for virtual currency derivatives trading, and platforms that provide services for these activities. In other words, individual holding is not the same as legality. It sits in a gray zone of no encouragement and no protection. Understanding this boundary is the foundation of all subsequent compliance judgments. Many people hold large amounts of assets in this gray zone but have never seriously thought about it. Gray does not mean safe, it only means temporarily unprosecuted, and the word temporarily can end at any time. Compliance red lines, for boundaries every holder must know. Based on the regulatory framework above, we distill four compliance red lines for ordinary holders. The first red line, it is forbidden to conduct fiat to virtual currency exchange transactions on domestic platforms. The 2021 notice explicitly bans all business activities involving the exchange of virtual currency for fiat currency, and any domestic platform providing such exchange services is illegal. If you buy or sell digital assets through domestic channels, the transaction itself is not protected by law, and you may face the risk of account freezing. According to public cases, between 2022 and 2023, several banks froze accounts involved in virtual currency transactions, with frozen amounts ranging from several thousand to hundreds of thousands of yuan. The second red line, it is forbidden to conduct virtual currency-related promotion, token issuance, or fundraising activities targeting the domestic public. This applies not only to project teams but also to individuals. If you recommend virtual currency investment on social media, organize community campaigns, or participate in the promotion of token issuance, you may touch the legal red line of illegal fundraising or illegal business operations. In 2023, courts in many places handed down guilty verdicts in virtual currency-related fundraising cases, with amounts ranging from millions to hundreds of millions of yuan. A WeChat Moments recommendation or a community share can, under specific conditions, be deemed promotional behavior. The third red line, you must truthfully declare income related to digital assets. Although China adopts a prohibitive stance on virtual currency trading, if an individual obtains digital asset income through overseas channels and remits it back to China, the individual income tax law still requires declaration. In 2023, tax authorities in several places began paying attention to virtual currency-related tax issues, and some banks started flagging large abnormal cross-border remittances. Undeclared digital asset income theoretically faces the risk of back taxes plus late fees, and in serious cases may involve tax evasion. Even if current enforcement is limited, the tax look-back period can be 5 years, and the enforcement environment in the future may be very different from today. The fourth red line, it is forbidden to use digital assets for cross-border money laundering or capital flight. The cross-border transfer characteristics of virtual currency make it a potential tool for capital flight, but this is exactly the area of strictest regulation. The State Administration of Foreign Exchange and Anti-Money Laundering laws both have clear provisions, and major banks' anti-money laundering systems have labeled transactions involving virtual currency as high risk. Any attempt to evade foreign exchange controls through virtual currency, once identified, has consequences far more severe than the transaction itself. This is not a matter of fines, but criminal prosecution. In 2023, courts in several places sentenced defendants in virtual currency-related cross-border transfer cases to actual imprisonment for the crime of concealing or disguising criminal proceeds. Regulatory trend signal lights. How to sense policy direction early. Regulation never descends suddenly. Before every major policy adjustment, identifiable signal lights turn on. The key is whether you have built a perception mechanism. The first signal source is official consultation papers and draft documents for public comment. When the People's Bank of China, the China Securities Regulatory Commission, or the Cyberspace Administration of China publishes research or requests for comment related to digital assets, it usually means that formal policy is being drafted. From the consultation stage to the formal document, the average cycle is about 6 to 12 months. For example, the EU MiCA regulation took about 31 months from the publication of its draft in September 2020 to its formal passage in April 2023. But the industry had sensed the direction from the draft stage. The second signal source is speeches and meeting minutes from senior regulators. When public meetings of the State Council's Financial Stability and Development Committee or the People's Bank of China's Monetary Policy Committee mention keywords such as virtual currency, digital assets, or cross-border capital flows, this usually foreshadows the next policy direction. Before the comprehensive ban in September 2021, multiple signals had appeared as early as May of that year. Inner Mongolia cleared mining operations, and the People's Bank of China summoned banks to suspend related services. From the first signal to the final ban, the interval was about 4 months. This 4-month window was enough for any holder with a perception mechanism to respond. The third signal source is the frequency and scale of enforcement actions. When enforcement news targeting virtual currency significantly increases in a given period, it usually means a new round of policy tightening is underway. You can sense this by searching the China Judgments online database, local public security bulletins, and reports from mainstream financial media. In the first half of 2022, the number of virtual currency-related cases increased by about 40% over the same period in 2021. and this signal was further confirmed by subsequent policies in the second half of 2022. When virtual currency-related court cases on the judgment's online database jump from single digits per month to double digits, policy tightening is already on the way. The method to build a personal regulatory radar is simple. Spend 20 minutes each week scanning the People's Bank of China policy section, cyberspace administration announcements, CSRC news, and digital asset coverage in mainstream financial media. Record key information in a table, noting date, source, and core content. After 3 months, looking back, the policy direction becomes clearly discernible. This is not prediction, it is perception. The former requires luck, the latter only requires discipline. The longer your perception window, the more response time you have. The more systematic your records, the more accurate your judgment. The hands of the regulatory clock keep turning. The only question is whether you are watching the dial. The risk map, from exchange collapses to stablecoin to pegging. The risks of digital assets go far beyond regulatory compliance. Exchange risk is the most direct threat. In November 2022, FTX, one of the world's top three crypto exchanges, collapsed, and approximately $8 billion of user assets evaporated within days. The chain reaction affected millions of people worldwide, directly leading to the bankruptcy of multiple related institutions. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried was later sentenced to 25 years in prison. Earlier, in 2014, Japan's MTGOX was hacked for approximately 850,000 bitcoins, worth about $480 million at the time, and the case is still in bankruptcy proceedings. More than 10 years later, victims have still not been fully compensated. These two cases span a decade, but the risks they reveal have never changed. Stablecoin depegging is another systemic risk. In May 2022, the algorithmic stablecoin Terra USD depegged from the US dollar, falling from $1 to under 1 US cent, and destroyed the entire Terra ecosystem along with it. Before the incident, UST's total market cap was about $18 billion, and within 1 week of the depegging, it was nearly zero. About $40 billion in market value evaporated in this incident, affecting the entire crypto market. This incident proved to the market that even stablecoins pegged to fiat are not risk-free. Their stability depends on the underlying mechanism, not on the word stable itself. The trust foundation of algorithmic stablecoins is market expectation, and market expectation can reverse overnight. Smart contract risk cannot be ignored either. In March 2022, the Ronin Network cross-chain bridge was attacked, losing about $620 million. In August of the same year, the Nomad bridge was attacked, losing about $190 million. These incidents show that even if a project is compliant, underlying technical vulnerabilities can lead to total asset loss. According to statistics from multiple blockchain security firms, the total losses from smart contract vulnerabilities and cross-chain bridge attacks in 2022 alone exceeded $3 billion. Behind every seemingly secure code audit report, there may be an undiscovered zero-day vulnerability waiting to be triggered. For ordinary holders, the takeaway from these cases is, do not put all your assets in a single exchange, do not bet all your positions on a single stablecoin, do not ignore the importance of smart contract audits. Diversified storage, regular checks, cold wallet backups, these seemingly tedious steps are your entire line of defense when extreme events occur. After all, the 24 hours before FTX collapsed, most people still thought it was one of the safest exchanges. 48 hours before UST depegged, it was still the stablecoin with the third largest market cap. Risk never reveals itself in normal times, it only pays out in extreme moments. What you can do is to diversify before the extreme moment arrives. Compliance Survival Guide, a 7-step protection checklist. Based on the analysis above, we have compiled 7 operational protection steps. Step 1. Inventory your digital asset holdings, including token types, quantities, storage locations, exchange, hot wallet, cold wallet, acquisition channels, and time. This list should be saved offline and updated regularly. This is the foundation of all subsequent steps. You cannot protect what you do not understand. We recommend using an encrypted spreadsheet for records, checking weekly, and updating immediately after any change. If you are not even clear about what you hold and where, any compliance measures will have no starting point. Step 2. Verify whether your acquisition channels fall within the four red lines. If you acquired assets through domestic platforms or OTC channels, we recommend stopping such operations and assessing legal risks. If you acquired assets through overseas compliant platforms, keep complete transaction vouchers and on-chain records. The completeness of your vouchers determines how much protection you can obtain in a dispute, even if the protection is limited. Screenshots of every transaction, transfer records, and email confirmations should be archived. In the legal world, what has no record is equivalent to what never happened. Step 3. Transfer your main assets to a self-custody wallet, such as a hardware wallet, and keep only the minimum necessary trading position on the exchange. The exchange is the largest source of counterparty risk. When you put your assets on an exchange, you are essentially handing your private keys to a third party. The lesson from FTX is that even a top exchange can collapse in just 1 week. We recommend transferring more than 80% of your long-term holdings to a hardware cold wallet, writing down the mnemonic offline and storing it in different physical locations. The exchange should only keep a small position for short-term trading. Step 4. Establish a tax ledger. Record the date, token type, quantity, fiat value, and profit or loss of every transaction. Even if your current jurisdiction has not yet clarified taxation, this ledger will be your compliance voucher when policy lands in the future. Organize monthly and summarize annually. A complete ledger can reduce potential tax risk from impossible to prove to fully traceable. The tax lookback period is usually 5 years, which means today's transaction records may be required for presentation 5 years later. People without ledgers will be unable to prove their innocence. Step 5. Configure regulatory signal monitoring. Following the method in the previous chapter, scan official channels and mainstream media each week and record key signals. We recommend using RSS feeds or automation tools to reduce maintenance costs. The goal of this step is not to predict policy, but to ensure that you are not the last to know when policy arrives. When you only see the news on the day of policy release, the response window may be less than 48 hours. When you sense the direction at the consultation stage, you have several months to arrange calmly. Step 6. Develop an emergency exit plan. If policy suddenly tightens, can your assets be safely transferred within 48 hours? Is the cold wallet backed up? Is the mnemonic stored safely? This plan does not need to be very detailed, but you must have rehearsed it in your mind. The September 2021 ban went from issuance to local enforcement in less than 1 week. In that week, many people were caught off guard because they had not prepared. Exchanges stopped service, OTC was frozen, banks inquired. Rehearsing in advance is buying yourself a time insurance policy. Step 7. Review and update regularly. Spend 1 hour each quarter re-examining your holdings, ledger, monitoring records, and emergency plan. The digital asset field changes extremely fast, and the best practices from 6 months ago may already be outdated. Continuous updating is the only long-term compliance strategy. Compliance is not a one-time project, but an ongoing habit of maintenance. After every major industry event, exchange collapse, new regulation, stablecoin depegging, an additional review and adjustment should be triggered immediately. Stay alert, stay updated, stay flexible. These three things are the basic skills for long-term survival in digital assets. Cross-border perspective, treatment of digital assets across jurisdictions. For those with cross-border life or work needs, understanding the differences in how digital assets are treated across jurisdictions is crucial. The United States treats virtual currency as property rather than currency, and appreciation during holding is subject to capital gains tax upon sale. Long-term holding, more than 1 year, is taxed at about 0 to 20%, depending on income level. Short-term holding is taxed at ordinary income tax rates, up to a maximum of 37%. The U.S. Internal Revenue Service issued clear virtual currency tax guidance in 2019 and updated the question and answer style guide in 2022. Every transaction, every exchange, even every purchase of goods with virtual currency is considered a taxable event. Japan is one of the earliest countries in the world to bring crypto assets into the legal framework. After the 2017 revision of the Payment Services Act, virtual currency exchange business was placed under a registration system. Profits from personal virtual currency transactions are subject to miscellaneous income tax, with progressive rates from 15 to 55%. The 55% top rate has been controversial. Many Japanese investors have called for lower rates to prevent capital flight. After the 2023 reform, some tax incentives were implemented for long-term held virtual currency. Japan's Financial Services Agency regulates exchanges very strictly, having issued multiple rectification orders and business suspension orders, and the requirements for client asset protection continue to escalate. Singapore has adopted a relatively lenient but regulated approach. The Monetary Authority of Singapore implements a licensing system for digital payment token services, but does not prohibit individual holding or trading. Singapore does not levy capital gains tax, and virtual currency trading profits are in principle not taxed, unless recognized as business income. This makes Singapore a popular choice of registration for many crypto enterprises. But Singapore is not a lawless zone. The Monetary Authority strictly controls retail investor leverage trading and promotional activities, having issued warnings and restrictions against non-compliant platforms multiple times between 2022 and 2023. Lenient does not mean permissive, the compliance framework remains clear. South Korea implemented the Virtual Asset User Protection Act in July 2023, requiring exchanges to implement real name authentication, segregated custody of client assets, and insurance coverage. South Korea levies a 20% tax on virtual currency trading profits, originally scheduled for 2022 implementation, but postponed multiple times. China's position is clear: domestic virtual currency trading and related businesses are comprehensively banned, but the legal status of individual holdings sits in a gray zone. Cross-border holders need to understand that your assets in different countries are subject to different laws, with different compliance obligations. Do not use one set of cognition to manage assets across all jurisdictions. A single mindset to rule them all does not work in the digital asset field. Each jurisdiction has its own legal logic and enforcement rhythm. Frequently asked questions. Question: Is it legal to hold digital assets within mainland China? Answer: There is currently no clear law prohibiting individuals from holding digital assets, but domestic trading, exchange, token issuance, and related promotional activities have been comprehensively banned. Holding itself sits in a gray zone of no encouragement and no protection. Your next step: check whether your asset acquisition channels involve domestic platforms or OTC. If so, assess and document legal risks, and consider whether you need to adjust your holding structure. Keep complete on-chain records as evidence of your asset sources. Question: If an exchange collapses, can I get my assets back? Answer: It depends on how you store your assets and which jurisdiction you are in. If you used an illegal domestic platform, recovery is almost impossible. If you used an overseas compliant platform, there may be insurance funds or bankruptcy liquidation procedures, but the process is lengthy. The MDGOX liquidation has been ongoing since 2014. Your next step: immediately transfer your main assets to a self-custody hardware wallet, keeping only a minimum trading position on the exchange. Confirm that your cold wallet mnemonic has an offline backup. Question: Do virtual currency transactions need to be taxed? Answer: In most countries and regions that have enacted legislation, virtual currency trading profits need to be taxed. China's stance is to prohibit trading, but income from assets acquired overseas theoretically still needs to be declared under the individual income tax law. The United States, Japan, South Korea, and others have all clarified virtual currency tax rules. Your next step, establish a trading ledger recording the date, token type, quantity, fiat value, and profit or loss of every transaction. Organize monthly and summarize annually. Even if you are not taxed now, when future policy lands, you will have complete vouchers. Question: Are stablecoins safe? Answer: Not absolutely. The stability of a stablecoin depends on the underlying pegging mechanism. Fiat reserve-backed stablecoins like USDC have relatively low risk but depend on issuer credit. Algorithmic stablecoins like the collapsed UST carry extremely high risk. In the 2022 UST depegging incident, about $18 billion in market cap went to nearly zero in 1 week. Your next step, if you hold stablecoins, check the issuer's audit reports and reserve certificates, and avoid holding stablecoins that are unaudited or lack transparency. Diversified holding of different types of stablecoins can reduce single-source risk. Question: How far in advance do regulatory signals usually appear? Answer: From historical data, major policy landings usually have a 6 to 12 month signal period. Consultation papers, regulator speeches, and increased enforcement frequency are all typical signals. Before the comprehensive ban in September 2021, signals began appearing from May of that year. Your next step: spend 20 minutes each week scanning the People's Bank of China, Cyberspace Administration, CSRC websites, and digital asset coverage in mainstream financial media. Record key information in a table. After 3 months of looking back, the policy direction will be clearly discernible. Question: How should I manage digital assets held across multiple jurisdictions? Answer: Each jurisdiction has different laws and tax rules, requiring categorical management. The U.S. handles it as capital gains tax, Japan as miscellaneous income tax up to 55%, Singapore in principle not levying capital gains tax, South Korea 20%. Your next step, list every jurisdiction where you hold assets, query the local virtual currency laws and tax rules one by one. For complex situations involving multiple jurisdictions, we recommend consulting lawyers or tax advisors with cross-border business experience. Do not use one set of rules to manage assets across all jurisdictions. Regulators are not the end of the road, but signposts along the way. Those who can read them walk further in uncertainty.